On this episode of the Naturist Living Show, Naturist Parenting.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 94 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaine, and I'm your host for this podcast, and I'm the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And we have talked for a long time about, it's been many years now that I've been doing this podcast, and we've talked often about having a parenting show, and I still want to do many of them specifically on issues. I think it's a multi-show, multi-episode version. The reason that I haven't done it is because it's a little overwhelming. It's such a big topic and I want to do it right. And other things keep coming up. So somebody just pushed me into it, which is a good thing. Andrew, who's a mom and a member at Bear Oaks, wrote a blog for the what's called the 1000 Families Projects in the new family website, thenewfamily.com. And that was so successful that she ended up recording a podcast for the same group, the same website, the new family website podcast. And which led to actually a Toronto Star article, which we shared through on the various social media feeds of Bear Oaks. So it all was really well received and it was really well put together. And I was involved in the podcast because Andrea asked for my help with that. So I thought, well, maybe this would be a good thing to incorporate in the Naturist Living Show podcast, because that kind of initiates anyway the discussion on children and family and naturism. So I gave the person behind it, the producer, the owner of the newfamily.com website and podcast and blog, and I gave her a call.
Welcome, Brandy Weikley.
Thanks so much for having me. Hi, Stéphane.
I know quite a bit because we've talked before, but for our listener, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. I am the editor and founder of a website called The New Family and a podcast by the same name, The New Family Podcast. I'm a longtime parenting journalist, and most recently my most recent full-time job working for someone other than myself was as editor-in-chief of Canadian Family Magazine. And I started a website of my own because I really wanted to explore the many different shapes that family can take, because I felt those weren't perhaps really well represented in mainstream parenting media. I wanted to explore how diverse family has become and really kind of dig into that lived experience, because family is so central to, the human experience, as I'm often saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So you actually, this is very interesting because really you are an example of the changing media landscape. You know, you're doing this probably mostly on your own, and you've got a narrow niche, and you're able to do it because of technology.
That's right. It's really been something. I think there's a lot of teeth gnashing that goes on about what mainstream media is going through because it's shrinking. But I actually think that there's a lot to be celebrated about the fact that it's so democratized, so lots of people can find their own voices and create their own channels, their own small publishing companies, their own blogs and podcasts, and it brings a lot more diversity to what we've got out there to listen to and to read.
So it's one thing to put it out; it's another to have people listen. Are you successful?
Yes, thank you. I am. Of course, we're always looking to get new listeners and have them to come to know what we're doing. But there's been some really wonderful feedback on the show. And I was really honored when last year at the Canadian Online Publishing Awards, the podcast got a silver coming after a big CBC production. So that was a pretty good feeling.
And I'm pretty sure they have a much bigger budget than you do.
They do have a quite a bit bigger budget than I do, yes.
Well, that's great. So what kind of things do you like to cover in your podcast and in your articles and on your websites? It's because when you in 1,000 families, it seems like you're looking for that diversity that's out there.
Yes, absolutely. So I set out with this central project for the new family at its launch, and that was called the 1,000 Families Project, the long name being I Bet We Can Find 1,000 Ways to Be a Family. And that's a guest blog series telling the first person stories of families in every shape and form. And it's really important that that particular series be in first person because it's their voice and they're telling the story in their own way. Of course, it's edited. I support people in their writing to tell the story the best way possible. But we get a little glimpse into what their family life is like and how they define family. And the key thing there is celebrating that family no longer looks like just one mom and one dad and two kids, maybe mom as the primary caregiver and a golden retriever and a white picket fence. It can be a little excluding if your family doesn't look like that in terms of just the messages that are out there still, even though it's 2017 now. But I think the positive reaction has come in part because people find it very validating to see families in these different forms celebrated and considered just as valid as a more stereotypical nuclear family, which really is a social construction in many ways. It was a very short period in our history where we had this notion that we should have a small nuclear family headed by one married heterosexual a couple, and that we would exist in isolation within that unit. I think we're really supposed to be defining our families however we'd like, and we're really not supposed to be isolated in these little units without support from others. So giving people that freedom to define family the way they want, I think, has been something that people have found fresh.
And do you think it all works, all these different ways to be?
Of course it does. Yes, it's absolutely up to you to decide who's family. Sometimes I'm a big fan of the idea of chosen family. Sometimes the family that we arrive with on this earth is, you know, maybe things aren't perfect there, and that can be very difficult emotionally for people. But you can find relationships with non-blood relatives that can act like siblings or aunts or uncles in your life. And if you want to make your life with a same-sex partner, with a friend who helps you raise your children, with your best friend from camp who is sort of like an uncle to your kids and lives in your house with you too, that's up to you, really. And we don't need to seek permission from anybody else. And I see a lot of happy, thriving families in every constellation.
That's interesting. Yeah. You know, I suspect it was always sort of like that, but you could never be as open about it as you are today.
That's right. I think people have been quietly making their families whoever they wanted, but if they were so lucky, perhaps the way they wanted to make their family would have leave them open to persecution, and that's still the case in some cultural groups and in some countries in the world. But I think that you're right. People have been defining their families quietly in their own way, and I'm just trying to shine a light onto that.
And with that, one of the members at Bear Oaks, Andrea, is also a follower of your website and a listener, I think, to your podcast, contacted you. And I guess she offered to write something?
That's right. She was aware of our 1,000 Families Project. And so she sent me an email and she said that discovering naturism a few years prior had really changed her life and community and become a central thing in how she spends her time. And that while her husband doesn't practice naturism, they have found a way to just be at peace with that, and that's fine within their relationship. And I'm interested not just in the people in a family, but how also a social or a cultural practice might be central to someone's life, to their family life. And I was very keen to hear more about it. So I invited her to, yes, please go ahead and create a 1,000 families post, which she did. And there was a lot of feedback, positive feedback to it, and a lot of interest. And that is what eventually led us to having our podcast conversation.
Now, you didn't have any concerns initially? People often have an almost visceral reaction to the idea of children and nudity and adults and things like that.
No, I'm pretty open-minded. I don't jump to a worst-case scenario. And I'm not that easy to shock with that sort of thing. Very early on in the series, the 1,000 Families series, I was approached by a woman who was in a polyamorous family, and these things have nothing to do with each other, has nothing to do with naturism. But I'm just telling you that's as an example of something that people make assumptions about or get scandalized by that notion. And I wasn't scandalized at all. I was interested in what that kind of a family structure would look like. I guess I kind of approach my work like a bit of an armchair social anthropologist. And I just want to hear about people's lived experiences.
It is interesting. So why don't we listen to the actual podcast that you put on air a couple months ago, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't we just take a listen and then we'll chat more about it after.
You're listening to episode 124 of the New Family Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the New Family Podcast, the show that explores what families like yours and mine really look like today and the issues that matter to us most. Twice a week, I interview some of the most compelling people whose stories represent the changing face of family. And I speak to top parenting experts with great insights to share on the challenges of raising kids in these interesting times. Hey there, new families, and welcome. I'm your host, Brandy Weikley. You can find me at thenewfamily.com, a website offering modern views on family life. This episode seems almost guaranteed to be an interesting one. Today, I'm welcoming two guests to the show to talk about raising kids with a naturist lifestyle. You may be more familiar with the term nudist, but the preferred language for this way of life is naturism. Mom of two, Andrea Alves, recently wrote a very popular guest post for the New Families 1,000 Families project about her adventures as a relatively new naturist. We're also joined by Stéphane Deschaine, who brings the perspective of a veteran naturist to our chat. He and his wife own the Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park in East Gwillimbury, Ontario, where Andrea took her first forays into social nudity. Stéphane and his wife have raised two boys as naturists since birth. They're now ages 17 and 20. These two are joining me on the line from Stéphane's home office. Thanks so much for coming in the show, both of you.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Well, it's great to have you both. Can you please each start by telling us a little bit about your family, ages of the kids, and such? Well, I guess I already mentioned, Stéphane, that your kids are grown. But Andrea, why don't you go first?
Okay, well, I'm Andrea, and I'm in a family of four, myself and husband. We are in our 30s, and we have two lovely and exhausting young children, one little girl who is a year and a half, and a boy 3 years old.
So you're right in the thick of the busyness with little kids.
Oh, yes, very busy.
And I've actually gotten to the point now that we're leaving for a vacation on Saturday and we're just abandoning our children.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting now. My kids are 17 and 20. And, you know, that's challenging in a totally different way because they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But they're very good boys. And my wife and I are just enjoying the freedom that comes with having older kids.
I bet. So, Andrea, you wrote that you never imagined embracing a naturist lifestyle. So did you know anything about it growing up or in your early adulthood even?
The only thing I had heard of is a nudist colony. And it was something kind of you couldn't say it without laughing. And it was something I didn't even really knew existed. I thought it was kind of this fantasy, this like questionable, did it really exist? Something that might be imaginary thing. So no, I had really no involvement and didn't know anything.
So how did your interest get sparked?
I would have to say there's a 404 highway and there's a sign that says Bear Oaks Naturist Park. And it was, I passed it, you know, dozens and dozens of times until I finally found out from, and I can't even say who told me that it was actually a place and that the naturist meant nudist because I was unfamiliar with the term myself. And then I was just blown away knowing that it was actually close to where I lived. And then that's when my curiosity really peaked and I thought, it does exist, you know, it is real. And I thought it was something that I thought to put on my bucket list.
That's awesome. So tell us about the day that you decided to give it a go.
It wasn't just one day. It actually took me months and months and months of thinking. Because I really had to come up with the nerve because I'm not someone to just say, okay, I'm going to get naked and I'm going to do it. It really took a lot of forethought because I wasn't someone who's really comfortable with my body. And especially after just having a child, it wasn't something that I was ready to get up and do right away. However, it was something I knew that if I was going to do it, I should do it. And the weather was just perfect. I was outside with my son. Hadn't even told my husband that day I was going to go, but the weather, like I said, was gorgeous. It was the perfect temperature. It was cloudy, so I didn't have to worry about sunscreen for my son, who was 5 months at the time. And I said, you know what? Today's the day. Packed up the bag and we went.
Wow. So how did it go?
I loved it. I was hooked. I would probably spend about 2 hours there. I can't spend too much longer with such a young child. But I met a wonderful couple with kids. I had to, you know, had to sink all in and, you know, a lot of watching around and seeing what it was like. And everyone seemed very friendly. The property was gorgeous. You know, I went swimming with my son and it was kind of nice adjustment because I got to wear him on me because he was still so young. I got to wear him on the carrier. So it felt like I had a little bit of a shield, even though I was naked, you know.
Sure.
It did help a little bit.
Was the actual process of disrobing as daunting as you thought it might be before having gone there?
Actually, it was really interesting because I was given a tour of the place, and I wanted to be, and the people, when I first got there, I was clothed and I never wanted to be more naked in my life because I felt very uncomfortable seeing everyone naked and still being clothed. I felt like I didn't fit in.
Right.
And I felt uncomfortable. So by the time I got naked, I actually felt more comfortable. At the time, I mean, not fully, but I did feel more comfortable and in my element.
Yeah.
So that did help.
Yeah, this is one of the differences between Bear Oaks and some of the other clubs around, because the staff and everybody is nude. And it's because to us, it's really a philosophy and an ideology, whereas other places is more of a recreational place to where people go and the staff might be dressed. But I think it makes it easier when everybody's nude because it makes transition easier.
Sure. The first people that you're encountering when you're getting in through the gates are going to be practicing naturism as well. So that's interesting. So through this process, Andrea, you've clearly come to know Stefan, as you were the one who suggested he join us for this discussion. So what's been your experience of community around this lifestyle?
Stefan is not someone I ever would have hung out with if it wasn't for naturism. And I must say, I am so glad that naturism brought us together as friends because, I mean, age doesn't matter. And my experience with everybody at the Naturist Park is that naturism is something that everyone instantly has in common. So you all kind of have this bond that you just kind of appreciate that hobby of everybody's and that philosophy that everybody carries. So it's kind of nice that everybody has that grounds to go on, which is really nice. And that causes that creates instant community, I would say.
And I don't get to know everybody who comes to Bear Oaks. We get thousands of visitors every year.
Right.
What got my attention with Andrea is that unlike most people, she wasn't shy. Like she posted it on Facebook that she went and she tagged Bear Oaks. So I saw it. So it was always like, wow, I'm, you know, a mom who's gone with her kids and is so passionate that she's not afraid to tell everybody. So that's what made me reach out to her.
Oh, good for you, Andrea. That's excellent. Now, Stefan, you were a longtime naturist and advocate for the naturist lifestyle. In fact, you produce a podcast on the subject, The Naturist Living Show. So I'll make sure the listeners can find the link to your podcast on the show notes page for this episode. So how did you get your start in naturism?
Well, I started before Andrea did, actually, in terms of age. Mm-hmm. I was in my early 20s, I would guess. It was an evolution of skinny dipping. I was going to cottages and camping, and I really love skinny dipping. I think a lot of people do. And I became the initiator, and my friends started calling me the nudist. At one point, I think I just said, well, maybe I am. And I started investigating it. And one thing led to another. And because when I first visited a naturist club, I really enjoyed it, like Andrea did and many others. But I'm not one to just stop there. I wanted to know why. Like, why? Suddenly nothing made sense. Like, why was I wearing clothes? Why does everybody feel the need to wear clothes? And that led me to eventually owning my own club.
So it sounds like you started to then explore the culture around naturism and our reasons for wearing clothing and all that kind of thing. So did you do a little bit of academic research at the same time as you're exploring this?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. My background, my undergraduate degree was in psychology, and I was working in marketing. And marketing is all about behavior and why people do what they do. And so it started by, you know, asking questions and why is it such a big deal and where does it come from and what's the history? And yeah, over the last three decades or so, I've really developed quite an understanding to the point that I write a lot. I do a podcast and I even teach a course at the University of Toronto on the topic.
That's great. So your boys are now nearly grown. What has it been like raising your kids this way?
Well, it was a learning experience. You know, naturism has been around for about 100 years. So when you read, you find out there's lots of theories of why and how you should raise your children. My wife and I both thought, you know, that we had two boys and to have them grow up, you know, by the time they even thought about sex, they'd seen thousands of nude women, nude people in general. Mm-hmm. So to have them grow up with a different viewpoint of what the human body is about was very important to us, but also being comfortable with who they are and accepting their own bodies. It was always a challenge of balancing, you know, we live in the real world, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they go to school like everybody else with other kids. In fact, I remember when my eldest, when Mark was, I don't know, he was in school, he was in kindergarten, he was invited to his first swim party, birthday party at a pool, and my wife Linda took him. And she comes back and she goes, I had to hold a towel around him while he changed. I'm going, oh my God, we've lost him already. I was devastated. I wanted to raise children that weren't embarrassed by their body. And here's a kid that demanded to be hiding behind a towel. But that weekend we went to our naturist club, a different club that we belonged to. And he had his clothes off before we even put the car in park. And what I realized is he wasn't ashamed. He had just already learned in school that there's times where you have to at least act like you're ashamed. Mm. So yeah, it's been interesting. Mark, as he got older, shied away a little bit, then he came back and now he's 20 and he goes back to the park. Even last summer, he was going back when we weren't there to hang out with the people he knew. Philip, who's 17, has decided that he wants to hang out with his friends. And you know, it's embarrassing that your parents are run around naked all the time, are naturists, and right. Especially me, I'm in the media all the time, so it's hard to avoid. And so he's kind of shied away from it. I don't think he's ashamed. I think he's just wants his identity to be something his own right now. And I think if I don't push him too hard, he may come back, maybe he won't. But I know at least I've given him an alternate narrative in his head about what, you know, bodies are about and sexuality is like and what people are supposed to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of positive messages about bodies that he's had in his upbringing, whether he decides to spend his time that way or not. So what do you see as some of the benefits of naturism on the health of the whole person, Stefan?
You know, everybody who tries naturism, and you heard it in Andrea's voice, is it makes you happy. I've heard her call it her happy place when she goes there. And interestingly enough, a study just came out 2 days ago from Goldsmith University in London, UK, by a professor, Dr. Keon West. And he did one of the first empirical studies that showed exactly that, that the people who are naturists are happier, more self-confident, are more comfortable with their bodies. And even found something interesting, which is really good for my business, is that the more you do it per year, the happier you are up until 20 times, and then it kind of levels off. So you have to come to Bear Oaks at least 20 times to get the maximum benefits.
There you go.
According to his studies, and that's pretty good for business.
Absolutely. There's reason to get a membership right there.
I mean, beyond that, it's a psychological thing, right? It's about desexualizing. And, you know, we live in a world that's hypersexualized. We live in a world where you have unrealistic expectations of what people are supposed to look like. They're all supposed to look identical. All kinds of objectification. And it's about taking all that away to accept who you are, and then to show respect. One of the funniest things I often say is that naturism is not about nudity, and people look at me like I'm crazy. But the nudity is just the tools to achieve this state where you show your true self, your true authentic self to others. You don't try to pretend to be anything else.
How about you, Andrea? What benefits have you experienced in the 4 years or so since you've adopted a naturist lifestyle?
I can honestly say that naturism has made me a better person. And I can say that by saying that at first I thought parenting made me a better person. Mm-hmm. And I thought that because after I had my first child, I drove slower. And I didn't swear as much because of, you know, my child's precious ears. And I wouldn't let myself get as stressed at work because I was more resilient. And I thought that if I was stressed at all, I wouldn't be able to give my children 100% at home, you know, and I wouldn't let that happen because I had to be, you know, a good parent for them. And that lasted all of about, you know, maybe 6 months. And then that was done. And I became the exact same person as I was before I had kids. But even now, you know, 3-4 years after I've been involved in naturism, my outlook has changed. And I can honestly say that my outlook on my own, you know, body image has changed. If I were to have to tell my children beforehand, you know, love yourself, love your body, it doesn't matter what size you are, I would have been a hypocrite. Because I wouldn't have been believing what I was saying. And I was that person who says, you know, oh, you're a size 14. Oh, I love that dress. You look beautiful. That looks great on you. And I had different standards for other people than I had for myself. And now I can honestly say that, you know, I'm on a medication, and one of the side effects is gaining some weight, probably the heaviest I've ever been in my life right now. And I've never felt so beautiful in my life. Because I go to Bear Oaks, I go in that hot tub, I'm not wearing any clothes, and I don't have to squeeze into tight jeans. I can let it all hang out, and I can feel great and beautiful and happy. So I can honestly say for my health and for my happiness, naturism has definitely succeeded in making me a better person.
Wow, that is tremendous to hear about the way that has helped you to be more comfortable.
Another thing I commonly hear from women, because I have some friends interested in going, but they say, oh, you know, I just want to lose some weight, or, oh, you know, good for you for going. You're so brave. You know, I could never do that. And they think, you know, if I felt better about myself, I could do that. And I said, that's why you need to go. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go, you won't need to lose that 10 pounds because you'll feel so great and you'll be free.
It's funny because the reason that people should go is often the reason they can't.
Right.
They should go to become comfortable with who they are, but they just can't get to that point because they feel, you know, somebody that I've been talking to for years now who wants to come, but she keeps saying, when I lose so many pounds, it's like, but nobody cares. That's the point.
Right. And if she could come and see the diversity of body shapes and forms at Bear Oaks, she would probably feel much better about herself instead comparing herself to a representation of basically what our population looks like instead of the images that are coming at her through magazines and other forms of advertising about what women are supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Also, going back to that day that I did bring my son to Bear Oaks, it was more of a celebration because now that I had my son, it was that I was rocking my post-pregnancy body. I didn't care as much because I was so proud of what my body had created. I just loved my son so much. And it was just the place that I wanted to experience with him.
That's a really nice thing to have with him. So now, shifting gears a little to address the skeptics, what would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions around naturism, Stefan?
Well, that's easy. Everybody thinks it's a sexual thing. Everybody thinks they're going to be, because that's what they experience in the world. They're always being checked out and evaluated. And nudity, of course, is all about sexuality in their minds because that's what happens. That's what you see. That's what the media says. And that's what you experience. And, you know, I can say it and your listeners will hear me say it and they'll hear Andrea say it and they won't believe it. Because it's something that you can't actually believe is true until you experience it. It's what did you think, Andrea? Did you expect there would be some sexuality around it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good for you.
I can't say I did. No.
But and there isn't any, right?
No, there's not. No, I can honestly say that, else I wouldn't be there. It's a very, very family oriented place. And you can tell that by going to the website and you see, you know, the naked children with the smiles with their parents and everyone looks like a happy family. Definitely not anything sexualized there.
And that's the other big reaction people have when they hear, there's children there? Because they associate nudity with sexuality, they think children shouldn't be there. Of course, that's nothing to do with it. And, you know, this the whole, if there's nudity, people say, what if children see it? And I always want to say, well, so what? What will happen if a child sees a nude body?
Mm-hmm. What's so bad about that? Certainly, it's a good question. And it's funny because I think most of us see toddlers naked a bit more often than we see people of other ages, for instance, like a baby getting changed in a backyard barbecue or running, you know, through the, I don't know, a little bathing pool or some sprinklers or something. And we sort of allow, in general, for the idea of a tiny little innocent one to not care so much about their body. And isn't that beautiful and lovely? But we expect them to hit a body shame awareness just a couple years later. And yeah, I don't know why it is we make that one exception.
It's manufactured. I mean, it's there, you know, there's all kinds of advice columns you read where they say, oh, and at which age is it okay for your child to see you nude? And the fact is there is no age. There are some columnists who've suggested this age, that age. And there's some weird ideas out there that somehow your children will get turned on by seeing you nude, which is crazy.
yeah.
And there's no, you know, other than Freud having this whole idea of envy and all that stuff, which was based on some analysis of some rich women in Austria, empirical research shows that children benefit. The most cynical interpretation of the results is that there's no impact. But there's a lot of suggestions and research has been done over decades that it's good for children to see non-sexual nudity. And it makes sense when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But we really are a prudish lot overall, aren't we? We clearly have a lot of hangups about our bodies and around the idea of being naked in front of others. In fact, being naked in public is a common nightmare for people that I'm sure therapists everywhere have profited mightily from interpreting. Mm-hmm. So though we weren't born with clothes on, what do you think is behind our resistance to being in our birthday suits?
Well, it's cultural because it's not true in all cultures and it's not true everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You would never wear any clothes in a sauna in most of Europe and certainly not in the Scandinavian countries. That would be seen as weird and disgusting, even though they're mixed saunas. So it's very much a learned thing. It's very much cultural. And where does it come from? Well, it comes from a history of religion. It comes from some attempt at times to try to control people and their sexuality. It comes from using clothes often as status to keep people in check and in certain positions. There was a time in the Middle Ages that wearing certain colors, it was illegal because certain colors were reserved for the royalty. So clothes mean a lot more than protection. In fact, most of the time they're not about protection. They're about status. They're about hiding who we really are. You know, if you make people really ashamed and embarrassed with their bodies and you tell them that with their clothes, they look better, then of course it becomes about the clothes, and not wearing clothes can seem like some sort of insult. Whereas as a naturist, we see it the other way around. You know, wearing clothes is more that it's pretense. You're not willing to reveal your true person. I don't mean physically. I mean, there is some of that, but really the clothes is about changing the person psychologically and emotionally. And when you're at Bear Oaks and nobody's wearing anything, everybody always talks about how it seems people are friendlier, they're more open, everybody seems more comfortable. And of course, it makes sense because they no longer feel they have to play a game anymore. They don't have to pretend to be something they're not really.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and say that clothes hide everyone's, what they say, flaws and imperfections, and it's an insecurity they have. Mm-hmm. That if everyone had their ideal body shape and looked exactly how they wanted to, maybe they'd be more inclined to get naked. but that's just a rare occurrence and mm-hmm. few people in the population. You know, I don't think there's many of them out there.
Well, maybe there's none. Maybe it's unrealistic that we're trying to all look the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you could probably strive and strive towards a certain body shape and work your tail off quite literally with exercise and diet and that sort of thing, and discover that you're still there. You and your insecurities are still there, even if you've dropped some pounds. So something to think about for sure. Now, Andrea, your husband has not become a naturist, and by the sounds of what you wrote in your 1,000 Families post, it doesn't seem like he's likely to do so anytime soon. So have you come to an understanding about that?
Yes, I have. It saddens me a little bit that he's not becoming involved, but, you know, I totally respect his decision, just as he's respected mine to actively participate and become a member at Bear Oaks. We had an understanding from the beginning, and, you know, it's not something I would have participated and pursued in if it were to cause any strain on my marriage. And, you know, him as a supportive and secure man, he's very accepting and supportive of the philosophy and supportive of myself. So it was very nice for him to be encouraging, and he wanted to hear all about it. So now I even hear him, if anyone has any questions or really thinks like, oh, you think it's okay for her to go, he defends the philosophy himself. And he's, you know, he's listens to me. He's read articles I've shared with him. You know, he's very up to date with what it's like, and him himself knows it's not sexual and understands what it's all about.
That's great. Sounds very supportive. And honestly, couples don't have to have all of the same interests and hobbies and ways of spending time. So it sounds like you guys have a really healthy understanding around it. So if there's just one thing you would like people to know about naturism, what would it be, Stefan?
It would be that it's freeing. People don't realize how shackled they are by their attitudes and beliefs. And one of our taglines is free your body, free your mind, because people can't appreciate just how freeing it is until they experience it.
Great. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Andrea?
I would just say it's not as scary as it sounds, and you can do it and you might like it.
Yeah, I got to say, my curiosity is piqued. I mean, it's starting to feel like it should be a bucket list item for me too. Yeah. So just one final and much more general question before we wrap up. I wanted to ask each of you, as parents, we're on the receiving end of a lot of unsolicited advice, but although most of it we need to take with a grain of salt, occasionally there's a gem in there somewhere. So what's the best piece of parenting advice you've ever received?
I would have to say that you are the expert on your child. So as much as you, as like you said, you hear a bunch of stuff, go with your gut, because there's a lot of information out there and you know your child best.
And what about you, Stefan?
For me, it was, and I don't remember who said it, and that's terrible, but I heard the phrase benign neglect. And you know, it was a bit tongue in cheek, but it's about letting your kids learn on their own and not doing everything for them. And that builds their self-confidence, and that allowing them to make mistakes and maybe even hurt themselves just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I love that phrase, benign neglect.
I like it
well, that
too.
That goes with the one I wasn't going to say, and that's the one, no baby ever died from crying.
Yes, that's so true. But we do, particularly when we're brand new to it, we do tend to see a baby crying as a disaster. And we're biologically programmed to react to it. So we take care of their needs, but it's something that we need to adjust our thinking around for sure. Andrea and Stefan, thanks so much for coming on the show and helping to inform new family listeners on a topic most of us don't know much about. It's been great to talk to you. Guys, to learn more about this and to find links to Andrea's 1,000 Families post, the website for Bear Oaks, Stefan's podcast, and some other great resources related to our discussion today, please head to the show notes page for this episode. Just go to thenewfamily.com and type episode 124. That's episode in the numeral 124 into the search bar. Andrea and Stefan's show notes page will pop right up. And if you like this episode, please share it with a friend. That goes such a long way to helping others to discover the podcast. One final reminder, you can get our free ebook, 11 Ways to Keep Your Family Weeknights from Spinning Out of Control, by entering your email address at thenewfamily.com/weeknights. Stefan and Andrea, thanks again for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so what was the reaction to the podcast? Did you get a lot of listeners?
I did. I was delighted to have a peek into the fact that the global naturism community is very well connected to each other through the internet. And it was one of our best, if not the best, listened to and most often downloaded episodes we'd had in some time, and perhaps even in the history of the show. So that was great for me. And it was wonderful to see it getting shared so many times on Facebook. And it was, as I said, a real eye-opener as to how many people embrace naturism in different parts of the world. And on the appetite that there is for people to approach that topic with an open mind. I'm sure that there is, you know, there are misconceptions. We discussed that in the podcast. And so being able to explore it within the context of family, I guess it was welcome by the naturism community.
Yeah, I think naturists always appreciate their recognition because, as I was saying before we listened to the podcast, people often have this visceral reaction that somehow children are going to be at greater risk, which we talked about in the podcast is not true, but it's an emotional reaction. And so people are afraid to even say it or talk about it. So to be recognized always by people for something that we all so strongly believe is right and best for children is always really positive and really affirming. So that's mm-hmm. possibly what you saw. It's also interesting how the internet has allowed you to, you know, have your own presence, your own network, your own show and everything else. It also allows people to create communities who aren't necessarily in the same geographical region and keep in
yes.
touch. So, and that's a lot of fun. So did you get, but with that comes a lot of commentary and people are all very free to comment on things on the internet. Did you get any negative reactions?
Gosh, I'm trying to recall if there were some negative comments on Facebook or not. If there were, they were in the tiny minority because it seemed to me like who was reading and embracing the episode were perhaps the curious, but also the people within the naturism communities around the world. And you're absolutely right. The internet is wonderful that way for connecting us with people who share interests and values. And I also think that there was a point made in the way we positioned the episode to, you know, about raising kids to have less body hang-ups. And I think that a lot of us can relate to the notion of having body hang-ups. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a lot of curiosity about it from that point of view. And when you stop and think about it, we don't arrive on this earth with a set of clothing on us. We really have constructed a lot of that shame around what our naked bodies look like. And we have all these messages coming at us from every which way in advertising and marketing about how perfect and glorious our bodies need to be if we dare go to the beach with them. And so I think there's a lot of curiosity about that too, because there's a lot of people out there who would like to have less body shame, and they don't want to raise their children to have body shame either. So I think a lot of the interest in the episode came from that also.
That's good. And perhaps you have a very much more open-minded and tolerant audience, and your listeners are more willing to listen and be open-minded, I guess, because when Andrea first, you know, like a lot of people who discover naturism get very enthusiastic, and she was on a Facebook group she participated on, and some people really attacked her. I mean, really attacked her, trying to find out, you know, where she worked to try to get her fired because she had said she's a teacher and things, which is like, wow. I mean, none of that had anything to do with her work, what she does on her own time. So some people seem to be very aggressive on the internet.
That's absolutely true. I guess perhaps my listenership and my readers are, I guess perhaps a bit more open-minded, perhaps a bit more liberal or on average educated, and are not about to have kind of a really reactionary response to that and go to the worst case scenario and call somebody a freak or a pedophile because they dare to take their clothes off on the weekend, which mm-hmm. has nothing to do with where they work. And I'm really about actual facts. I'm a big fan of facts. And I really can't stand the way a lot of current culture or assumptions amplifies the risk of stranger danger and all that kind of thing far above what it is. And I would really like to see people worrying about what counts, which is your kid being walking safely and looking both ways before crossing the street, because that is where they really could get hurt. And I don't think the family naturism park is a place where that's kind of where they're going to come into any harm.
No.
So it's interesting. There's great irrationality around what people perceive as a risk compared to what actually is a risk. So I don't want to play into any attitudes that don't reflect where risk really does lie. And I want to reflect things as they actually are, which is a group of people I find very interesting because they found a way to buck that pressure to keep covered and all that body shame and all that striving for Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition perfection, and set that aside and explore being in their natural states. So
putting aside for a moment the objective journalist that you are, what was your personal reaction?
Curiosity for sure. While I haven't made it out to Bear Oaks, I wouldn't rule it out. I'm kind of game for trying things. And I grew up in a family that was pretty relaxed about bodies. So I certainly saw my parents naked. And my dad, my late father, was a science teacher. He had taught sex ed. So there wasn't a lot of mystery and shame about how the body worked or anything like that.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't find it a massive leap to consider being naked in a private park with other families.
Very good. So if people want to listen to the podcasts, the other podcasts you have, or read all the articles you have on your website, where would they go?
They can go to thenewfamily.com, or they can also look us up on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or SoundCloud. Just search for The New Family Podcast.
And we will have links to all of those things in the show notes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. Again, my name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And I make this show with a lot of help from Sean Mitchell, who makes all the time-consuming, tedious task of editing so much easier because I don't have to do it anymore. You can find links to all the items we talked about in the show notes on the website at naturistliving.bearoaks.ca. And if you'd like to comment, please send us an email at naturistliving@bearoaks.ca or give us a call. You can call and leave a comment. You can delete it if you don't like it. You can edit it, re-record it. Just call country code 1-905-473-6060 or toll free in U.S. and Canada 1-888-373-9124. Or you can Skype us for free. Our Skype name is Bear Oaks. And no matter which way you call us using those options, you get into the main phone system for Bear Oaks, and the Naturist Living Show extension is 333. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.